There is a fascinating and perplexing medrash, actually in three places, a medrash rabbah. The medrash rabbah says in the opening of Bereshis that the Greeks told the Jewish people, "Kisvu lachem al keren hasher she'ein lachem chelik b'lekei Yisrael." We want you to write down on the horn of an ox that you have no part in the God of Israel. And the commentators struggle with this statement of our sages. Why the horn of the ox? Why not write it down on paper or papyrus or parchment? Why the Keren Hasher, the horn of the ox? And over the generations, many commentaries have offered various suggestions. But today, I want to share with you one insight which really gets to the heart of the conflict between Hellenism and Judaism during the era of Hanukkah 2,200 years ago. And fascinatingly, it coincides with the great fight and quarrel between Yosef and his brothers, the portions that are read during the holiday of Hanukkah. What was really the root of the conflict between Yosef and his brothers? Can you say that the tribes of the Jewish people, the tzaddikim, who represented and embodied the legacy of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, would loathe their brothers because of his dreams, because his father loved him, because he bought him a colorful tunic? Is that sufficient to take your brother, throw him into a pit, and sell him into slavery? Well, the discussions about this deeply intriguing and enigmatic story have been around for thousands of years. But let me share very briefly an insight that I think was first introduced by the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, later developed in the writings of the Sfas Emes, and later in the writings of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKoyen Kuk, Zichroinam Lebracha. The conflict, says the Baal HaTanya, between Yosef and his brothers was a profound one. What is really the vision of Judaism? You see, the brothers, as Yosef would later tell Parai, their vocation was Roye Tzoin, shepherds. The life of a shepherd is one of insulation and isolation. Their philosophy was that for Judaism to thrive, we must remain isolated from the larger world, completely committed to our spiritual calling. Stay there with nature, remain connected to the forces of nature, to the song of nature. That is the appropriate environment that is conducive to nurture spiritual reflection, prayer, communion with the divine. Yosef had a whole other vision. Yosef is dreaming of changing the world. All the sheaves are bowing down to me. The sun, the moon, the stars are bowing down to me. Yosef wants to become an economic superpower, and he also wants to create vision for the world. Yosef's vision is that Judaism is ultimately universal. We say in Aleinu, L'saken Olam B'malchus Shin Dalet Yud, our job is to repair the whole world, to revolutionize the landscape of planet Earth under the kingdom of Hashem. Yosef has a whole different perspective. Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher. He wants to transform all of mankind. The brothers look at Yosef and they see that he represents a vision that can cause ultimate assimilation. The Jewish people will forfeit their identity. When you become so universal, you lose touch with who you really are. This was a powerful debate. What is the trajectory of Judaism and of the Jewish people? Rav Kook writes something fascinating. He says that is the meaning of the fact that Yosef accused his brothers in eating Eiver Min HaChai. What is Eiver Min HaChai? Did he really accuse the brothers of tearing off the limbs of a living animal when it's still alive and eating it? And Rav Kook says it represents Yosef's debate with his brothers. Yosef said, "You don't understand. The truth is Ein Oid Malvadai. The whole world is divine. The whole world is really Eivarim, limbs of the Chai Ha'ilamim, Eiver Min HaChai. It's all a limb, an extension of divine oneness, of divine harmony. You don't have to live in a world of fragmentation, in a world of dichotomies, in a world of a split. The whole world is waiting for a Jew to place his mouth on the mouth of the universe and declare together, Yizgadal v'yizkadash Shmei Rabba. Generations pass. Hellenism comes to the Jewish people and says, Kisvu lachem al keren asher. We want you to be like Yosef. Assimilate like Yosef. Look at Yosef. He was a real Egyptian. He ran the greatest economy of the world. He wore Egyptian garb. He spoke in Egyptian language. He wasn't this isolated shtetl Jew, a zealot for Torah and mitzvahs. He was integrated in the larger society. Our image of what the good Jew looks like is Yosef. Kisvu lachem al keren asher. Who's keren asher? Who is called the ox in Chumash Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu say about Yosef? P'chor shoyroi hadar loy v'karnei re'em karnov. They speak about Yosef as the ox and Yosef possessing the horns of the ox. Write down on the Keren Hashur, your Keren Hashur, your Yosef HaTzadik represents what our vision for you is. Of course, the Greeks missed the point. Yosef's ability to go into the world as a Jew did not come from weakness and spinelessness and apologetics. It came because he was anchored in a vision of Ein Oid Mulvadai. Yosef was not a spineless Jew. Yosef was not a weak Jew. Yosef was not a dichotomized Jew. Yosef was not an ashamed Jew. Yosef was so deeply rooted in faith that he could see God everywhere. He realized that Torah, that Yiddishkeit, that godliness can pervade every corner of the world. L'sakan olam b'malchus shin dalad yud, but it can only come if you're anchored in a deep sense of wholesomeness and harmony. You're not a broken Jew. You're not a fragmented Jew. You're not an apologetic Jew. You're not a spineless Jew. The Greeks misunderstood Yosef when Yosef tells his brothers, Samani Elokim la'adin al kol eretz Mitzrayim. God has made me a master over Egypt. Tell that to my father. And the Halakha Kerushiner says, you think that's going to be Yaakov's nachas? Tell Yaakov that you went to the mikveh every day and you finished Bavli and Yerushalmi every day. You think his nachas is that you became a ruler over Egypt? And the Kerushiner says, Yosef was saying, Samani Elokim la'adin al kol eretz Mitzrayim. I made God a master over Eretz Mitzrayim. That was the vision of Yosef. Chanukah, we celebrate the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Greeks. How? Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Mitzvah la nichal Pesach besoy mi bachutz. Chanukah, we light the flames of Judaism, but where do we place these flames? Outside the house. Or today in many homes, on the window so that it should travel outward. Representing the ultimate vision and synthesis of Yosef and his brothers. We must light up the flame of Yiddishkeit so that it burns tall and proud and bright. But al Pesach beisem mibachutz, you can and must light up the outside world because the light of Hashem can and must pervade every corner of mankind, every corner of civilization, every aspect of humanity. We use oil. Oil is a very unique liquid. On one hand, we learn in Yoredeya, oil penetrates everything. You know, you get oil on your clothes or in your hand, it's not easy to get out. Shemen mefapeya b'chol dover. We learn in Hilchos Taruvos. On the other hand, the Mishnah says, Shemen einoy misarev. It doesn't mix with other liquids. It always floats to the top. We light the Chanukah menorah with oil to represent. On one hand, we want to influence all of civilization. We want to influence all of our people and the entire world. We want to transform the whole world into a Gula world. But how do we do that? By always retaining our essence and remaining loyal to our distinct identity. It's that synthesis that captures the magic and the blessing of Yosef. Why Yaakov Avinu tells him that ultimately you will become a blessing for the Jewish people and your children, Ephraim and Manasseh, will become those who embody the great ability of the Jewish people to transform the whole world and bring Geula v'Hoysel Hashem Hamlucha. Happy Chanukah.